right, welcome back to That's a Chunky. We're talking with Charlie Ray about his 10 favorite sketches. I think we have a couple left.
We have three left.
All right.
Next is Brian's Hat, for obvious reasons. I feel like, I don't know, you've probably seen this theory. I don't think you've spoken about it, but maybe I did hear it on the podcast, and I'm confused. Something else about the dice and the numbers on the dice when he rolls them. Have you seen this?
We have not talked about that at all. Tell me about it.
I saw this thing, maybe on the subreddit, maybe on Twitter, but when he first drops the dice to hide them, or die, I don't know which one it is, to hide them, he drops them, and they're two sixes. And they cut away from it, and when they cut back for the kick over, it shows two ones. And people were saying, like, is that kind of like, are they trying to show that in his head it's cool by showing their sixes, and then in reality they're actually ones, in terms of he doesn't look cool at all? It's like, I went back and rewatched it. Yeah, I was like, oh, there's no way that's an accident. There's no way they've got the continuity that wrong. Like, it's another little sort of gem in that sketch that I think is amazing. And I know, you know, James has talked about how much he likes the mouths connecting with the voiceover and all of that sort of thing. And you guys have gone into detail on Brian's Hat for good reason, because it is just so, so funny.
Another perfect premise for a sketch.
Yeah, so good. So, unreal. So good. Yeah, and I think that's one that, if ever I'm trying to get someone into the show, that is always one that I show them, because it's a slow burner, but that, you know, that initial focus pull, and I don't know, like, someone needs to find out who the first AC was on this job, because he or she would have made that focus, would have pulled that focus.
Yeah, and it's very manual.
It's one of the most iconic focus pulls in television history, and I think that we need to find out who that person was and celebrate
that
them.
Homework.
Okay, I'll get to the next. Jamie Tacco is next.
Yeah. All right. So this is a sketch, the more and more I watch, the more and more I love. It sort of holds a special spot in my heart. We were lucky. I think the first actor we had from season two was Nick Azarian.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah.
And basically, like, I think I was in my family vacations at this sort of like rustic house that just recently got high speed internet. And I think I stayed up like till like 3 a.m. I know you could feel that to watch it when it dropped. And I think I went on Instagram, and like, I think Jamie Tacco, Nick Azarian, was like the first person I messaged, like, from the whole season two.
Yeah.
And I think by the time I had woken up, he had replied. And we had him really early. And what's funny is recently, I just got a message from Paul Hauser that was like, thank you guys all for the support. And I was like, no, like, you know, we love you on the sketch if we could ever have you on. And then I haven't heard back.
But yeah, that's what,
he's so good. And I don't know, you're an Always Sunny guy, right?
I do. I love Always Sunny. Yeah.
Do you know he was on Always Sunny?
Yeah, I know.
He was the Juggalo, right?
Yeah, he was. And I don't think I knew that until you put it on Instagram, and I was like, "What?" And then I went back and watched it, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And that, he's got like a new show on Apple now as well. Like,
okay, he's a great actor.
It. Yeah, I recently saw him in the Cruella film with that they did on Disney, which was like really cool, with Emma Stone, he's so, the emotion in his face in that is just spot on. But I'm gonna go to my last one, because I think it's gonna be a bit of a bone of contention.
Yes, is this the one?
This is the one. This is Claire's, right?
Claire's, yes.
This is Claire's. Now,
yeah,
there's been a lot of Claire's slandering on this podcast.
Not by me.
It was low on your list. It was low.
It was in the bottom 10, I think. For me.
Oh, I think it was bottom 5, maybe bottom 10. I don't know.
It could be. I can double check. I think Jared had it like the worst sketch of the history of TV.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is why I wanted to embarrass him on the podcast, but I, not, you know,
He was supposed to show up, so like we, you don't feel bad talking trash. He can.
To the babysitter, absolutely fuck him.
Maybe. Absolutely fucked him. and he, I think he, I know him and his wife had a date. I think they're at some sort of magic show right now. all right. So let's. So
it's a shame he's gonna drive.
We all talk about. I think my contention with Claire's is that it's almost like, as much as it adheres to the idea of I think you should leave, it's almost like too deep and profound. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's just almost like a little out of place on a comedy show. And not that it's not funny. It's funny in a very like confusing way, because you really do have to think about like death and mortality. And I'm not middle-aged, but like I'm not too far off. Like I'm going to blink one day and I'm going to be there. I will not be getting an airing, I promise. tell us, do you think it's like your favorite sketch, or is it sort of,
I think it's in my top five, maybe. I think so. Going off what you say, I think the placement of it is genius, to put it right at the end. I think that's,
I agree,
kind of the only way they could make that kind of poignant sketch work is if it goes exactly there.
I think they knew it, and I think they were really smart. Yeah. I think the people who make I Think You Should Leave think about everything.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think they knew exactly, because you've just watched one of the dumbest things in history, and then they leave you on that, and you're just like, wait, what? And there's loads of like little things in there, like maybe this isn't even supposed to be a joke, but I found it really funny that they full name him in the lower thirds, because like they have Penelope, I've written it down because I wanted to remember, Penelope age 9, Elodie age 10, and then Ron Tuzbler 56 years old.
Yeah, it's like, really funny.
It's just like a really small detail that like adding his second name makes it seem even stranger that he's on there.
I was also thinking like if they had to like fill out some sort of like form when they got there, like the 8 and 9 and 10 year old would write their first name.
Yeah,
and he was
that's
really funny, and I hadn't thought about that.
I think as well, like I think what's great about it is the I keep coming back to this, like the pacing of all these sketches is to a T, and I think what's great about this is I was watching it for the first time, and I was like, I kind of already know that this is going to get slowly more and more inappropriate for a Claire's instructional video. You kind of have that in your head. And that does happen. So he very slowly gets more and more weird with it. And you're like, okay, this is kind of following the pattern. And
then like, Sibian.
Yeah, as he's getting like weirder, it's still the same. You cut to him, you cut to the girl, you cut to the other girl, you cut to him, and it follows the same pattern. And then when you think it's kind of just doing everything you think it's going to do, he cuts off one of the girls with Life's a Fucking Funny Thing. And from it, I fell apart when that happened, because I was like, it was so, they just stopped doing what they were doing immediately and just went full commitment to this bit. The Die on the Slab, honestly, like every time I hear him say, I'm worried I'm gonna die on the slab.
Like, he's getting his ear pierced. We often wonder, like, on a sketch like that, you know, like, are they intentional in tugging at the heartstrings of the viewer, or are they totally making fun of people who sort of romanticize everything, you know? In the same issue as in Jamie Taco, I mean, we always talk on the show about how it's like, it's sort of a great love story that makes you feel heartwarming. Are Tim and Zach laughing at the viewer for feeling that way, but we actually think that's how they want you to feel. They also feel that way, but it's not obvious.
And you know, I don't know, like, I always wonder how, where these kind of like micro decisions are made in terms of like some of these sketches, because obviously you have the director on the day and presumably in the edit kind of responsible for doing part of the cut. And then you have, you know, Tim and Zach, who are essentially the showrunners that will have written them, and they'll have their input. And it just seems like such a well-oiled machine. Like, everyone's on the same page.
Yeah.
Every possible line and cut and, you know, angle and, you know, interruption is just exactly where it needs to be. And I think what I love about Claire's is I want to know more about that entire world. I want to know about the Claire's employee that was actually cutting together that video, and why the hell they left all the stuff about the diarrhea, and like, why did they decide to fade out a girl early to put in Life's a Fucking Funny Thing? And then you kind of want to get into that, all that, and it kind of,
yeah.
I sat there at the end of it with my head in my hands, just like, what a belter of a closing sketch. Like, it just blew my mind. I thought it was
we've actually heard from a lot of people on the show that, like, it seems like Tim had, you would watch this and think maybe some of the stuff's been improvised, but it seems like, I think Tim scripts most of the show, like, word for word, and I think it's kind of the thing that he has a close-knit crew of directors that, well, like, it's easy for Tim to sell them on the vision of it, because Tim's vision is really good, right?
I
think a lot of it comes from, like, right at the top, which is just, like, Tim and Zach. I know. And also, I do want to point out, before you get into Richard Wharton, who we had on the show, that I also love the acting from sort of the secondary character.
Yeah.
Secondary adult, yeah. Who's like the guy who's, yeah, like, I know all this already, and he's clearly, like, really nervous and having the same issues.
And at the end, the emotion in his eyes, because his eyes are kind of like watering up. He's scared by the earring. He's scared by what he's just heard. You have the girl, the little girl, who is also, you know, does great in terms of, like, her facial reactions, because she's kind of confused, but also, you can sense that she feels the gravity of what is being said at the same time. Even though she probably doesn't know what a jib jab is, you still, like, just get that all from her. Like, I don't know. I just think it was, like, for me, it was, I don't think that any of the other sketches would have worked in that slot in terms of, like, the whole season. I think that had to be there. It had to be that one. They had to maybe, because what was the last one on season one? I forget now. That was Garfield.
That is a great
It's Garfield, question. Isn't it? It's Garfield. It could have been.
I actually thought when I originally watched, I could be totally wrong, I felt like season one I was seeing stuff in a different order than Jared.
Oh, that's weird.
But that's a good question.
I'm 90% sure it's the Garfield house, which, okay, I thought was, like, a really weak closer for season one.
Not my favorite sketch.
No, I think it was,
as much as I love Kate Berlant.
It is really, there's, like, funny moments. The hot dip stuff is really funny. Like, there's loads of stuff in it that's good. But, like, overall, it wasn't a closer for me. But this really, you know, Claire's really felt like a closer for me. Like, it really, like, it just asked more questions than it answered.
Even the way the end of the sketch is sort of edited. It just feels really apt. I was thinking of this as we were talking today, just about, like, how many hats Tim wore, and we've had a lot of, like, discussion with the actors and about how season two is affected by COVID. And I guess one of the big things I wonder is, going into season three, like, does Tim still have as many starring roles as he has in the past seasons? Like, the show has a pretty big profile. I'm sure he can attract a lot of people, but he's also sort of magical.
Well, I was amazed to hear from the, I can't remember his name, forgive me, the stunt coordinator on Coffin Flop. he was saying that Ryan Gosling was supposed to be on.
That guy was amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
Nito Lariosa.
I actually think that's one of my favorite episodes you guys have done. I found that whole thing just absolutely enthralling. Like, it was, I was, like, just walking to work with the biggest smile on my face listening to that podcast. Like,
his career is insane. I mean, like, he started as a singer in a boy band, and stunt coordinator, and you know, and I think it was either James or Jared who pointed out in one of the last couple episodes that like the credit card roulette sketch, like John Early,
yeah, he's great in that.
But he's like playing a Tim Robinson character.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I feel like he. I think, you know, the show is, I think you should leave with Tim Robinson. I think he's always going to be, in 75% of the sketches, you would imagine. Yeah. Because I don't think that, I mean, if you look at all the sketches, if you laid them all out and you took the characters that were in them, there isn't many that you would trust anyone to do that wasn't Tim, especially the ones where he's just like yelling at the camera. So I don't know. I think there's definitely more cameos to come, celebrity cameos. Like I think this show is way popular than people think it is in a way. Like if they were talking about Ryan Gosling coming on before COVID, I mean, that is, you don't really get bigger than Ryan Gosling at the moment. Like,
well, in the hip hop world, there's a lot of critically acclaimed people will say like, I'm your favorite rapper. And I think like, I think you should leave is like a lot of famous people's, you know, like it's definitely, I think more popular in the circles of popular people. Yes, I think I almost feel like Tim's the type of humble person too, where like, he's not gonna totally try to over capitalize on that. Like, I don't think he'll have people on who he doesn't think are funny.
I know he obviously, like, it's great to see like the Detroiters like alumni get on there. Ugh. And like he just uses like people that he loves and trusts and like finds funny himself. And I think that's, I'd happily not see any celebrities if we just carry on getting the same caliber of acting as we've had over the last two seasons. And you know, I'm so excited for season three. I'm exactly the same, because I wasn't listening to your guys' podcast from the start. I found it and then had to listen to like
nobody listened from the start.
No,
and so, we had like two listeners.
I was listening to you guys like getting pumped for season two, like as season two had just come out. I share your worries now for season three, where you're like, oh my god, I just hope it's the same sort of standard. I want to know, because I'm fully by that Reggie is the ghost tour guy. I'm fully in that camp. I fully believe that. I hope we get that guy back
like
again.
A trilogy.
I really want
to. I think you're onto something. And just for the record, like, and I am not saying this as sort of like a mouthpiece for the show or anything. Like, So my whole life, I've been sort of the nerdy person who's like really critically judging everything. I'm really trying to find the best stuff forever. I think this show is going to be good for a long time. And I think it's just going to be like, I actually think having watched that skateboarding sketch he did, I think season three is going to be the best season. I think there's something really special about the people who create the show. I think they did season two and they had some like real limitations and it was still amazing. Yeah. It just gives me a vibe of like, to me, the most critically perfect sort of like music artist in my world is like Outkast. Yeah. And I'm getting Outkast vibes. Like, I don't think these guys are going to have writer's block. I don't think they're going to run out of ideas. I think you give Tim like one word and him and Zach are going to make it funny. Like, I think they can make anything funny.
Literally anything. I think as well, I don't think Tim is the sort of person that would commit to doing a season if he hadn't already got 1,000 ideas to make it like.
Absolutely.
Excellent. And I'm just hoping he makes another Soup reference. Shimmy was like, oh, I wonder if, he's like, maybe you should ask Kevin what he thinks the next Soup will be in case we get a third cat that we can name our next cat after. But I don't know.
Well, were you a fan of Seinfeld? Did you watch that at all?
So I've seen like bits and bobs of Seinfeld. I can't say that I've watched it all the way through. I have watched the whole of Curb Enthusiasm, which I feel like is semi in the same universe, just because of Jerry Seinfeld's involvement in it. But like, I've seen like episodes and I do really like it. It's just one of those things that there's just so much of it. It's kind of daunting to start from scratch. But
so in my opinion, great show. There's Soup Nazi episode where they sort of deal with this guy who makes the best soup in the world, but he is incredibly tough to deal with. Anyway, I think he has gazpacho for sale. I don't know if he has pozole, but yeah, it could come from that. My guess is Tim and Zach have watched that Soup Nazi episode a lot of times. So if I had to guess, oh man, it's a really tough one. I don't know. They'll surprise me. I'll say Borscht.
Yeah, we'll find something out.
I'll say Borscht.
Borscht, okay.
That's what I'm going with.
A beautiful,
is that even
name
soup?
For a cat. I don't know. I've never heard that in my life.
It's Russian.
I think maybe it's one of those, because like Tim seems to have these things that he's got things that he likes.
Hot
so
dogs.
Hot dogs, bones.
Yep.
Santa. He seems to love Santa. Santa pops up all the time. The big burly white beard. You've got Crashmore. You've got Santa Born Early. Like, and maybe soup is just one of those things. And like, we'll get more soup next season. I don't know. But yeah, I'm just I don't know when it's. Do you know what it's going to be? Like, is there any news out on that? Or
That's a good question. I don't have any news. If I could go off something that I can't attribute well, I felt like it was like happening, like it's like recording and being made. Here's what made me think. I think early on when season 2 was released, I read some person on Instagram who I'd never heard of was like celebrating the fact, it was her agent celebrating the fact that she was cast on season 3.
Okay.
And I want to say that this was probably like 13 months ago.
Well, I remember Panavision accidentally tweeting about season 2. And that's how I found out season 2 was happening, because I followed them on like, it was either like Twitter or I can't remember what it was now. I'm literally always on Twitter, pretty much on James's page, just like reading James's stuff all the time.
It's amazing.
And yeah, I think Panavision tweeted saying that's a wrap on I Think You Should Leave season 2, but I don't think it had even been like had publicly announced at that point. I can't remember. There was definitely like, it's definitely a show that has a few leaks in the in the locker. But yeah, I just cannot wait. I cannot wait. And you guys must be buzzing because you need some you're probably just waiting for a whole new set of material to sit down and discuss.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in this world that I think we've sort of quietly said this on a couple episodes. We're just like, we all have a bunch of kids and it can be really hard to record. Jared is like a really successful person at his job. So yeah, I mean, we still have to finish our like season 2 rankings. I feel really strong about my number one, like unwavering.
I can't wait to find. I've been checking my Spotify every single day, waiting for that new podcast to come up because I want to hear what everyone has to say.
I think I'm gonna try to pin these guys down to like, we might be able to get through everything in like one more episode.
Yeah.
We also in about a month, in about 2 weeks, Jared and I, old college friends, will be sharing a house with Vinod. So we got to try to get Vinod.
Oh, you have to get him on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if listeners of the show know this, but I once co-hosted a radio show with Vinod. It was fairly prominent, to be honest. Like, we had a decent amount of listeners, and we had some like major acts come through our show. You know, like, I'm a big fan of the artist who passed away last year, MF Doom. I think he's just like the best. I mean, if you go on Spotify, his songs have like, I think some of them have like 100 million listens. And he's like famously reclusive. He came to our show. But yeah, so Vinod is like a talented broadcaster. He started the show and brought me in on it. So as much as we make fun of him, I actually legitimately want to record with him just because he, and secretly we think he likes the show now.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to confirm. I don't get to talk to him a lot. But yeah, hopefully that'll be something. Hopefully our next two episodes can be closing out season two and getting Vinod on. And then someone else sent us a great idea for a show. I'm actually not going to reveal it because I feel like somebody would steal it. But Matt, a listener, Matt, sent us an amazing idea. So Matt, if you're listening, we are going to do it. As much as I can pin these guys down soon. So
I thought as well, like, I love your round, like the big round tables you've done with Big Steve and like those. And I was thinking earlier, because I was going through these and I was like thinking about specific lines that like, because like you watch it and you think, oh, that's the best line in the sketch. And I was like, it would be great for you guys to do a round table and you go through every single sketch. You don't talk about anything. There's no like conversation in between. And you go through each sketch and you just all in turn reel off your favorite line of dialogue from that one specific sketch. Because I'm fascinated to hear like how like you and Jared and James and Steve like see all these like see all the lines differently or like react to them differently. You guys just gotta keep doing what you're doing because it's so fun to listen to.
We will, and we gotta get Big Steve back on because like really good things are happening in his career, and good things can happen to, I mean, nicer things can happen to such a good person. So, we really enjoy having him on, and we've actually been keeping in touch a lot of people. Aaron Akins, who plays Herbie Hancock, and is like a really talented musician. Like we want to have him back on. All right, I think that's actually really helpful for me as somebody who is a creator yourself. I think I got some episodes lined up and then I think when season three comes, that's going to be like the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I'm excited for the podcast as much as I'm excited for the show itself. Like it's going to be great.
That gives me a great, I really appreciate that.
Every day on the walk to work, I would just be cracking up listening to you guys just talk about this. I'm so grateful to have been allowed on.
Now would be a moment for me to say to Charlie and to everyone else, we've been like overwhelmed by the response of the show. I was telling Charlie earlier, like since I was 19 years old and met Jared, he's always cracked me up. So we sort of started this. We both realized we love the show. So we just started it as like a little passion project. And then, I don't know what this number means to anybody, but I think we're currently around, this is a show we haven't put like $1 into. We're over 16,000 downloads, and I think we technically have like around 300 listeners to each episode, which totally baffles me. And we get all sorts of emails from you guys that make our day. Some of them are just incredibly profound. We had someone, I wish I could remember your name off the top of my head, who sent us the clip of that essentially Crashmore was a Billy Bob Thornton appearance on a radio show. And it literally blew my mind. I would have never known that. The I Think You Should Leave community is, it's literally all the best people in the world. Yes, funny, really smart, is. Nice people.
Yeah.
And all of this has just been like a wild ride for me. And we will keep trying to bring quality programming to you guys as much as we can. Charlie, anything we can do for you before you leave? I've had a great time talking to you.
I don't think so. I want to say one more time how grateful I am to Shiromi for reaching out to you guys and getting me on. It has been a lot of fun. I feel like I could talk about this for 5 hours, but I should probably go to bed at some point because it's 3:40 in the morning over here.
But maybe we can have you on at some point, or you can even like pre-record or something. We can hear about your experience seeing Patty.
Oh my God, I will come on anytime you want. I'll stay up late every month if I have to. Like, please, right. please let me know. I'm all for it. But yeah, I'll let you know how Patty is. She is an absolute icon, and I cannot wait to Amazing. See her.
I actually first saw her. My wife was, this is all like a very I Think You Should Leave story, but my wife was watching AD Bryant's show which is called, somebody remind me, God, I wish my wife was right next to me. hold on. I'm literally going to IMDb it as I talk. She was on Shrill, which is about one of my wife's favorite writers. And, so A.D. Bryan is Connor O'Malley's partner. I think wife, yeah. I think they're married.
Wife, yeah.
And Patty Harrison plays one of the characters on the show. And I literally, like, I think my wife was like, Patty Harrison from I Think You Should Leave is, or she's like, there was something where she's like, Patty Harrison's going to be on I Think You Should Leave. You should watch Shrill. And she showed me like one scene and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Patty Harrison is the type of person, like, her minute is better than everyone else's, yeah, 20 minutes. Just,
it's so good. I mean, I remember, because I have to say, Shimmy told me when we first started talking to each other, like online, and we were like, she was like, oh, I think you should watch this show. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll check that out. And then just ignored it for like, then we got together, we got together and it went on. And I need to give her props for this, because she said this ages ago. And then my friend Matt was like, I think you'd like the show. I think you should leave. And I was like, oh, I might watch this to Shimmy. And she was like, I fucking told you about this like a year ago. And we put it on and I was just like, oh, okay. Someone's made a TV show for me. Like, this is my sense, yeah, of humor. Like, I smashed the whole first season out in one sitting. And I, yeah, it's, and we've got, even, yeah, we've got the Swayze and fridge magnets and all this sort of stuff. And yeah, I just hope the show just goes on and on and on and on, because it just brings so much joy to our lives.
And I just want to tell Swayze, I have his fridge magnets and I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and if I put them on the fridge, like, they'll just be gone in like an hour. Never. So I like have them stored away for when like my youngest turns, I don't know, maybe like 8.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm just going to have to wait, or maybe just buy a fridge just so I can like use the magnets. But I do want to thank you, Charlie Ray, for coming on. This is definitely one of the, I knew this was going to be great, but it was like, such a unique way to record an episode. But we're going to hear from you soon about Patty.
Yeah.
But we are going to sign off for tonight. That's a Chunky. Till soon. That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayze, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks Diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayze has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy, Swayzine. Again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.